We've talked before about the dangers of fake news, and in a time when so many headlines are just made up out of nowhere, many people have shown their support for serious journalism with subscriptions to major outlets like The New York Times, The Washington Post, and NPR. Tomorrow, we'll talk about an icon of journalism right here in Georgia, and I'd love to have you be part of that conversation. Tell me, what was the best piece of journalism you've ever seen or read or even heard on the radio? You can call us at 404-500-9457 to tell us about a piece of journalism that has stuck with you over time. And then be sure to join us Tuesday at 9 a.m. for more. A conservative action group has created a watch list. It's aimed at naming professors who, quote, advance leftist propaganda, unquote. There are nearly 150 professors on that list from institutions all across the country. And one of them is Emory philosophy professor George Yancey. He joins me now over the phone. Hi, George. George, you with me? Also on the list is University of North Georgia English professor Matthew Bodie. He's on the phone as well. Hi, Matthew.
Hey there.
And to talk about watch lists in general is Dr. Corey Walker. He's a scholar of humanities and African American studies at Winston-Salem State University, and he joins us via Skype. Hi, Corey.
Good morning.
So, do we have George?
I hope so.
Okay, good. Now I can hear you. I wanted to start with you, George, because it feels like you almost weren't surprised by this. And by that, I say that it appears you've gotten a lot of hate mail and unwelcome messages since you published an editorial in The New York Times. Is that accurate?
Yeah, that's absolutely right. So I published an article called Dear White America. Dear White America. And it was written in which I say it's written sort of with love and concern. But it's written with a certain kind of courageous speech, and I had expected a certain kind of courageous listening. And it turns out, right after its publication, I received a lot of hate mail. The alt-right media picked up on it, and I got physical email, so I got messages, just a ton of messages that were just, I mean, saying things that I can't repeat, obviously. But very vitriolic. And what was interesting, again, alt-right, and what was interesting is that on their websites, after they called me the N-word, let's say 100 times, they would have this image of Donald Trump saying, go Trump. So in many ways, I wasn't surprised. And in fact, there's a piece, there's a little snippet from that article that Turning Point USA actually cites.
Now, you mentioned Turning Point USA because that is the group that's behind this new website. Turning Point USA is a group for young conservatives. It was founded by a 22-year-old. And that guy, Charlie Kirk, argues that American campuses have become hostile to Republicans. And this is what I wanted to bring up with you, Corey, before we talk to Matthew, is how typical is this complaint of a watch list, a watch list being one that looks for political dissenters or people from the other party? Is that typical?
Well, it has been typical since the 1990s. What you're looking at is a transformation. In the 1950s, of course, with the House Un-American Activities Committee and the crackdown in the McCarthyite era on political dissent, you had a number of scholars who began to study and began to engage in the political affiliations of professors. That sort of scholarship, Lazarsfeld's study of 1958, has gone the way to a much more partisan and much more divisive activity on the right. And you see this in the 1980s, 1990s, where you're looking at the politicization of campuses, where folks are assuming that a political party of a particular professor then automatically means that the university is indoctrinating students. It's really a method that the right has used to not only build its movement as part of organizing, but it's also part of how to get actual attention in the media. And when you're looking at this new group, it's a young group, recently started with a young charismatic leader. This group needs to get more attention. This is the proper way to get attention in this manner. And it's been part of
it sounds
the
like you're saying we shouldn't be talking about it.
Well, You have to talk about it because it comes up in a particular moment where watch lists have political consequences. And that has been since its inception in the 1950s. But this particular group is one that's using it just to mobilize folks and to organize itself. And it's done a horrific job at it. It isn't even included folks on the right as part of it. There were a couple of professors at the University of Chicago that were included. And once those individuals were included, and it became known by the organization, they were immediately taken off. You can even look at the Chronicle today. Folks are being taken on and off as soon as they're put on. And I have a colleague here at Winston-Salem State University who's on this list, and the information there is absolutely wrong.
So then that brings us to you then, Matthew Bodie of the University of North Georgia. You teach English there. Were you surprised to see your name on this list?
No, because, I mean, my role in fighting the campus carry bill in Georgia here has been going on since it started last spring, and that's why I was befuddled by the mission.
The campus carry was the bill that would have allowed the carrying of firearms on public schools, including universities.
Yes, and vetoed by the governor. Like I said, if the purpose of this particular website is to expose people, I've exposed myself, you know, far before this website was created, so I was kind of surprised to be on it. And like the person just said, the website is inept and kind of silly, if not for the fact that it's hearkening back to many other dangerous things. So I wasn't surprised, no.
So, George, let me read you a quote from one of the guys. Matt Lamb is with Turning Point USA. He's the Director of Constitutional Enforcement and Transparency. And he says, "We just want students, parents, alumni to know what's going on. So if an alumni is thinking of donating to a school, they may want to know where their money is going if they believe or agree or disagree with the professor's views." George, what response did you get from the administration at Emory?
When I published Dear White America, I actually got a lot of support from my colleagues, from students, and from upper administration. And from what I've heard, again, I've only gotten news from my colleagues, is that they are in fact backing me. So in the spirit of having backed me before, particularly from the president of the university, my guess is that they're also, you know, backing what I've said, because I've sort of, as I also outed myself. You know, it's not as if it's a secret in terms of the kind of pedagogical methods that I use and the topics that I discuss in my class.
We have this tweet from Nick Baum, who says, "Dear White America author, being disingenuous, controversy to his piece was that it was re-edited with his blessings."
Not sure I understand what that means.
I'm not either. That's why I'm posing it to you. Was your piece re-edited?
No, it wasn't re-edited. I wrote that piece for the first time. It was specifically written for The Stone in New York Times. And since that time, I've gotten a book contract, and that book is due to the publisher by February 1. But beyond that, it had never appeared before. I've spoken about whiteness. I mean, I teach a course called Critical Whiteness Studies. I'm one of the few philosophers of color, myself, Linda Alcoff, and Charles Mills, who have published on whiteness.
So let me put this to you then, Corey Walker. Some of the response to this watch list has been humor. There's a tip-off form included at the website where students can report on their teachers, and a lot of people have been using that tip-off form. One person reported Jesus Christ, saying, quote, "This teacher hangs out with lepers, prostitutes, and criminals. He's not even American, and he doesn't speak English. He's anti-wealth, anti-death penalty, and anti-public prayer." What do you feel about that particular strategy, responding to it with basically derision?
I think it's appropriate in this sense. Everything that goes on in terms of anonymity, in terms of these sites where you can anonymously publish anything, and there's no accountability, no public accountability, no accountability to any legitimate institution, no accountability to the university. We should treat it in this manner. We should treat it in a manner in which individuals, where we don't take it into the core of the institution and then transform institutions in light of it, but also make fun of it. humor is an appropriate strategy. But we have to remember that these particular sites, these watch lists, are part and parcel of a political strategy, part of a political strategy that's meant to change public discourse, to actually transform public discourse, to change the questions that we're engaging, to move away from substantive engagement about critical ideas to a much more personal ad hominem attack mode that really does not enhance American democracy and really does not enhance citizenship. So humor is an appropriate strategy, but humor within the limits of understanding that these sites are attempting to shift and transform what we're talking about in the public and then make some critical decisions about these important institutions.
My guests are Emory Professor George Yancey and also University of North Georgia Professor Matthew Bodie, who both appear on this conservative watch list. And you just heard Dr. Corey Walker, professor at Winston-Salem State University. Matthew, were you worried to see your name on that list? All joking aside, does it concern you?
I think it concerned my family and colleagues more than it did me. I started this back in the spring about this one issue and did receive some threatening emails and reported them to campus police. And so it just kind of like makes you wonder, not specifically about my students or any other people on campus, but the nuts out there who are reading these websites. As a professor of rhetoric, I wonder, what is the purpose of this website? Do they have a donation link there? But other than give information, what exactly are they trying to do? Information is not neutral. So they're suggesting some action, but they won't name the action that they want these people to do other than to harass me, I guess. And if you take that harassment far enough, it leads to violence.
George, have you gotten more complaints since the watch list went up?
Yeah, I have. People have now gone back to Dear White America, and I've gotten hate mail since that time. And I'll pick up on this theme also. I mean, there's a way in which some of my colleagues said, not here, but said, you ought to be proud. This is a wonderful thing, right? A badge of honor. But after Dear White America, I mean, I had to actually have police presence in my public talks. I mean, the FBI got involved. So I received tons and tons of hate mail and threats. As soon as I read about this, I pulled out George Orwell's 1984, and there's this line where it says, quote, newspeak was designed not to extend but to diminish the range of thought. And then I started thinking about McCarthyism, COINTELPRO, right? I started thinking about these things. And it is a bit threatening, right? I mean, after all, you know, people are reading this, people who are fanatic are reading this, and now after post-Trump, you know, election, there's a way in which I think we ought to be afraid because people are trying to shut down creative thought, transgressive thought. And so I think that's something that one ought to fear.
So, Corey Walker, the obvious difference between this watch list and, say, the McCarthy list is that one was sponsored by the government and one is not. But what are the dangers in these kind of lists? Have these kind of things in the past ended up with bad consequences, either for people or for their careers?
Well, you have to remember that the House Un-American Activities Committee began its life in the 1930s investigating Nazi propaganda in the U.S. and then morphed in the 1940s and 1950s into what we think of, you know, synonymously with Joseph McCarthy and his antics in the Senate. But what these lists do and what these lists are designed to do, particularly with the advent of a conservative moment in American politics emerging in the late 80s, in the late 80s and early 90s, is actually curtail and diminish the range of thought that's available on American college campuses, as well as begin to challenge the regime of public discourse, to actually curtail what's acceptable. When you look at what's going on now, it is George Yancey writing about whiteness in the New York Times. W.E.B. Du Bois wrote The Souls of White Folk in 1910. And in a sense, what you're looking at, the difference between 1910 and 2016 is that the moment of that transformation is the ascendancy of a virulent conservatism that really wants to restrict and curtail the freedom that's going on in the universities. And these freedoms are coextensive with the diversification of the university, as well as the university being one of the last bastions of freedom of thought and freedom to engage very contentious ideas.
Well, then, okay. Matthew Bodie, there is a place on this website, as I mentioned, where students can report their teachers. Do you think that you will be affected by this? Will you change your teaching style or subject matter?
Oh, not at all. I mean, last semester I did a course on the rhetoric of higher education. We spent a week on campus carry. I had students write about that issue on the pro carrying the gun side, and I wasn't biased toward their grade in any manner. I know I won't change the topics that I cover and the way that I teach. I think it just makes us more aware, more hyper aware of the entire situation that is education. I was going to suggest, you know, I always invite people into my classroom and take classes and get an education. But these particular websites don't seem to want to engage in learning. They cite other people like themselves and become circular in the sense that, no, I'm not going to change what I do. And I hope that the definition of education becomes not just citing other people like you, but learning and changing what it is you think it is. The previous person just said it's kind of a freedom of thought. The other side doesn't seem to be interested in freedom of thought in that regard.
Well, we only have about a minute, less than a minute left, George, but are you going to change anything about...
Yeah, thanks for asking. Absolutely not. But I fear that, because, look, I'm tenured and I'm a full professor, right? So there's a way in which I'm not afraid in that sense of losing my job. I am afraid of my physical safety by those who take on these ideas and are very fanatic. But someone who's untenured, let's say a junior professor, it might. Oh yeah, there you go. Oh right. Well, good. You are speaking with a great deal of courage then. And if you think about, look, the etymology of education, educare, which means to lead out, right? I mean, it's precisely our job. It's our telos to engage students in critical ideas that challenge them and that upset the status quo. You know, but at one level, I think that. You know, if we're not careful, it's going to have the sort of impact that philosopher, you know, Jeremy Bentham's, his notion of panopticon, which is basically, you know, this idea that we begin to surveil ourselves. And I think for many, it might have that impact. But again, I'm secure in certain kinds of ways.
Lucky you. Yes, Emory philosophy professor George Yancey. We also spoke with Matthew Bodie at the University of North Georgia and Corey Walker, professor of humanities and African American studies at Winston State Salem University. Thank you so much to all three of you.
Yeah, excellent. Yeah, thanks.
Thank you.